Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture reading is from Luke 11, 1 through 13. Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." Jesus told them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, uphold the holiness of your name. Bring in your kingdom. Give us the bread we need for today. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who has wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation.'" He also said to them, "Imagine that one of you has a friend, and you go to that friend in the middle of the night. Imagine saying, 'Friend, loan me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' Imagine further that he answers from within the house, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up to give you anything.' I assure you, even if he wouldn't get up and help you because of his friendship, he will get up and give his friend whatever he needs because of his friend's brashness. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open to you. Everyone who asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door is opened. Which father among you would give a snake to your child if the child asked for a fish? If a child asked for an egg, what father would give the child a scorpion? If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of God for the people of God.
As members of La Jolla United Methodist Church,
we promise,
we pledge,
we commit to faithfully participate in its ministries
with our prayers, our presence,
our gifts,
our service,
and our witness.
As members of La Jolla United Methodist Church,
we commit to give our full selves
as a response to God's generous love
in an outpouring of ever-growing hope.
Join us as a community,
as a church family,
as a connection.
Did you hear all the voices? I think there were 6 voices of this congregation. Mary Jane was one, thank you. Bob Wirtz was one. Tom Hughes was one. Cam was one. Kathy Dombrowski, Virginia. Even my voice, but I limited that one. You hear my voice a lot. Because it takes us all together to fully express stewardship. I believe that. I believe that it takes us all together to fully express stewardship. We are engaging this month, as I said earlier, in exploring a full expression of stewardship by recognizing that we are in a covenant, a promise relationship with one another to support the ministries of the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. It was when I was a kid that my dad was the stewardship chair in my local church. You know what he did? He split stewardship up so that stewardship was a conversation all year long and not just in the fall. And so for a couple of months, we would talk about prayers. There would always be somebody from stewardship in front of the congregation. For a couple of months, we'd talk about presence. For a couple of months, we'd talk about gifts. For a couple of months, we'd talk about service. For a couple of months, we'd talk about witness. And I learned from that the completeness of that stewardship picture. And I think it's important that we talk about this full picture: our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Now, you often hear me say that I think that we should always start with Scripture. And I think that in line with that, we should be in conversation with God. And that's how I think about prayer, is an ongoing conversation with God. I think they go together because I think that there are some particular scriptures that maybe we know in our hearts. And there are some particular prayers that I think that we know in our hearts. Here's an example. I'm going to start saying something. If it is something you know, I want you to speak up. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Good. Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I did not grow up in a time where we memorized the 23rd Psalm. So I confess, I dropped out because I didn't remember the whole thing. But I wasn't the only one. Do you see how it was together that we got through the whole thing? Do you see how it was our connection together? Even if not everyone in the room knows it, it was together that we made it through the whole thing. Now I want you to think about the 23rd Psalm. Are there ever any parts that you just sort of don't think about, sort of like when I was speaking with the children, that you just know it so well you just say the words? Sometimes it helps to hear the words in a different way. Rapper Coolio died this week. The opening line to Gangsta's Paradise: as I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I took a look at my life and realized there's not much left. 23rd Psalm has power and impact on us. In the same way as Scripture has such timeless impact on our lives, whether we memorized it, whether we heard it somewhere, whether we heard it in a rap, prayer has that impact as well. I remember a time also in my home church, I was the Scripture reader and liturgist for the day. Now, in my home church, the preacher bleachers is what I call them. They were up on the platform. They were up on the chancel. And so I was sitting next to the pastor, and then it came time for the Lord's Prayer, and we stood up. The Reverend Stan Fix is his name. He's retired now. And it was the part of the service where we all said the Lord's Prayer together. And our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how it sounded there. But you know what Stan sounded like? Right next to me, he prayed it, and there was inflection, and there was movement, and there was pacing change, and it almost for a minute sounded like he meant it. It sounded like he meant it. And I learned from that. If there's ever anybody sitting next to me and the police breachers over here when we're doing the Lord's Prayer, you will hear me say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Because I don't ever want a prayer that has such beauty, that has such rich tradition that as we as Christians understand was taught by Jesus to his disciples, I don't ever want it to be rote. I don't ever want it to be anything less than extraordinary. We're going to do the Lord's Prayer a little bit differently today, by the way. You know, when we have Holy Communion, by the way, we're having Holy Communion today. We're going to do it a little bit differently today, and I'll tell you about that when it's time. But when we have Holy Communion, we put the Lord's Prayer as a part of the communion liturgy, which is why we didn't do it during the pastoral prayer. But we're not going to say the Lord's Prayer together. You know what we're going to do? We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer together. Because sometimes we can return to and understand its importance when we hear it, participate in it in a different way. I have said to some of you in one-on-one conversations that honestly my favorite times in being a pastor are having some of those one-on-one, vulnerable, authentic conversations. And sometimes I have those conversations in my office, and sometimes I have those conversations on the sidewalk on the street. I was having a conversation with a guy once. He said, I grew up Catholic, and as I grew a bit older and sort of had my perspective on what's right and wrong in the world, it really didn't seem like my faith lined up with that, and so I walked away from the church. He said, you are obviously a religious person. And we have so many of the same values. And I would love to have a conversation about how it's possible to be a religious person and have these values. And I love those conversations. I love those conversations. I had another chat with someone. That last one was on a sidewalk. This other one was in my office. And we talked about some of the deep questions of faith and spirituality and how to respond when those horrible things happen in life or happen in the world. And feeling like there's that move, that desire to pray. But not really sure how. Have you ever faced that before? You know you want to pray, you're not sure how? Have you ever faced that before? There are a few things that I'd like to share with you about that, about how we pray. And what I told to this person is, like, one way is to model our prayer after the Lord's Prayer. And you don't have to necessarily say all the same words. But if you look at the Lord's Prayer, you'll see that there are sort of some sections that we might think about. Right? We would begin. I'm on the wrong page. Pardon me. We would begin with words of adoration, words acknowledging who God is. It's almost like addressing the prayer. God. Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. God who is in all places and all times. Offering and a confession or adoration of who God is. You are holy. I honor you. Maybe even expression of need. God, I need you. I want for your will to be done in the world. I want for your greater wisdom to prevail. Then a request. And sometimes that's a request for ourselves. Sometimes that's a request for someone else. Not unlike, give us our bread, the food we need every day. Not too much, just what we need. Help me stay out of trouble. That might be a good request. That's a big one for me. And then a doxology. That's what that closing section is for the Lord's Prayer. It's a doxology. It's your world. It's your universe. It's your power. It's your glory. Amen. Does anybody know what the word amen means? So be it. I had the absolute incredible privilege of sitting in a church one day. I was the pastor in that church too. It wasn't this one. And there was a youth standing behind the lectern, 15 or 16 years old. And he was talking about having gone on a trip to the Sierra Service Project. And he was talking about prayer as part of Sierra Service Project. And you know what he taught me? I have a master's degree in divinity. And you know what he taught me about prayer? He's standing up there, 15 or 16 years old, and he's talking about prayer. And he said, prayer does not mean anything unless you include these two words. So that. So that. Now, so, believe me, friends, sometimes we just need to get the stuff off our shoulders. And I'm not saying that's a useless prayer. Please hear that. And what this youth taught me is that if we are going to turn ourselves to God, then we have to be open to God's transformation. So his example was this. You lift up your sort of address to God and you honor God. God, here's what I need. I'm facing this circumstance. I'm facing this, you know, decision. And here's what I need about that. So that. So that. I can be healed and approach the world in a healthy way. So that I can be changed so that I can do better work in the world. So that. Listen, I don't know how many of you have ever prayed this prayer as a parent or a grandparent. Dear God, give me patience with my kids. So that I can teach them and nurture them and love them in ways that teach them how to nurture and love the world. Another thing that I would impart on you when it comes to prayer comes from the text. And Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, and then he gives an example. You go to somebody's door, and he draws this illustration where there are parent and child figures. And part of what I take from that is the reminder that when we go to God in prayer, that it's not unlike that parent and child relationship. When we go to God and we say, God, I need this. I need this in my life. I need patience. I need a brand new Tesla Model X. Because I believe that God answers prayers, but I also believe that God answers prayers with a parent's wisdom. Because if my kid comes to me and says, Dad, I want a Corvette or a brand new Tesla Model X, I'm going to say, dude, you don't have a license. So probably no. Because I believe that when God answers, sometimes God brings that presence and healing and sustenance that we need. Sometimes God says, I hear what you're asking, and I think you're probably in the right direction, but I don't think the timing is right just yet. So not yet. And you're not alone. I'm still with you. And sometimes I think God says, in God's greater wisdom, I hear you, but I think that's a terrible idea. And the last thing I want to leave you with is from a book that I have on my desk. It's a book called Talking with God by an author named Adam Weber. And the central point of his book is that we might want to shift our understanding of prayer from a directive to God, right? God's not Santa Claus. We're not just giving God a wish list, right? So shift any understanding of prayer that might be a directive to God and think about it instead as a conversation with God. So you think a prayer to or a directive to, I think that's different than with. Because if we imagine prayer as a conversation with God, then what must we then understand? That we have to listen. that if we're going to be in conversation with God, if we are going to be in prayer with God, then we have to listen. We have to take time in quiet. Maybe if it's right for you, silence. And listen for God. And maybe hear that yes, and maybe hear that no, and maybe hear that not yet. And maybe hear it in a voice that is unexpected. As we wrap up today's conversation about prayer, I want to remind you that our stewardship theme over the course of this month is plus one. And so I want to offer this invitation to you. Whatever your prayer life looks like today, you might pray every morning, you might pray at meals when you're at home, you might pray every Sunday, you know, as a part of church service. Whatever your prayer life looks like right now, I want to ask you to increase it. Maybe if you pray every meal that you're at home, maybe also pray before your meal when you're out. Maybe if you pray every night before you go to bed, maybe also pray in the morning when you wake up. I would like to invite you to increase your prayer life because I believe it's transformative. Maybe it's, say, a different kind of prayer. Maybe it's take time during those prayers to listen for God. But I'm asking you to plus one your prayer life. Get into the habit of doing this additional time of prayer and make it a long-term habit and see how it changes you. See, part of why I think it's essential that we start this conversation about stewardship with prayer is because when we think about our commitment to support the ministries of the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, I think each one of those must start with prayer. When we think about our presence in the church and its many activities, we must start with prayer. When we think about our gifts to the church, we must start with prayer. When we talk about ways that we will serve one another and serve our communities, we must start with prayer. When we talk about ways we will witness to the impact that God has had in our lives and the impact that a faith community has in our lives, we must start with prayer. And so here, I invite you to begin with prayer and to step up to plus one your life of prayer. And see how it changes you. Amen. Over the course of the last year after the sermon, the message, we have had a response to the word. We're going to hear from members of the congregation related to our stewardship focus. Most of these are going to be pre-recorded, but Bob Wirtz and I are going to do this live. Bob, could we bring up a couple of chairs and just have a conversation? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Thank you, Bob.
I have some.
Bob brought notes. All right. Bob, when you think about these five promises of prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, which one do you think is, I'm really great at that. That's going to be really easy to promise.
Presence.
Presence.
If I had to choose one of the five, the one I do with the most integrity is presence. Not just being here at church, the office, the choir, the bells, coffee hours, concerts. I mean being totally present in the moment with anyone, listening, asking, comforting, or just being there in silence or prayer.
So just commenting on that briefly, I really like the way you talk about presence, not only as being in a physical space, but being emotionally and spiritually present with people.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you. So you told us really already about sort of how that shows up. Does that method of presence, does that idea of presence affect you or impact your life when you are not on this property?
Yes. It is opening for that, keeping that door open for the next customer in line at Starbucks. It's asking someone, do they need coffee or some food? It's just being aware of drivers and who may be on the phone and how you need to avoid them, or just watching for that moment where you may just need to say that one word. Be present with what's going on around you so you can be ready to be in presence with somebody.
Thank you. Now, thinking about those five commitments, prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, is there one that makes you think, oh my gosh, that's going to be really hard for me?
No.
It's not the answer I expected.
None of them are hard. Is there one of the five? We each do, and I had written down here that, you know, you do I do these? My answer was mostly, or I try to most. And do you do them? Yes. You should, don't sell yourself short. You do. It's when you're out and about in the world where those aha moments that the Holy Spirit puts in front of you that you don't know are aha moments, and all of a sudden you go, oh my God, that was a God moment, or I get it, and it's in, I may be jumping the gun, but it's in that presence and in that moment, you're going to get your plus one. It'll come to you.
So one of the things that we promise is about giving. And since this is the time when we encourage members to make a pledge, you're going to get a brochure and a letter and a pledge card in the mail, that we encourage people to make a pledge to support the church in the coming year, I'd like to ask you, well, why do you give to La Jolla United Methodist Church?
I haven't on a regular basis. I have done on when projects come up or make donations to this or to that. But my financial situation has changed somewhat. And I'm sure it's because of God's good grace. So I have a dear friend who came to me once and said, I don't have it, but I'm going to give it. And he told me how his life changed. That one's a dear friend of mine in choir. So I think I'm going to honor my friendship to him by saying, doesn't matter if all you have is that $50 this month, or all you have is $5 for the plate, but or I closed a commission on a house. Here's some more, God. I'll give when I can, but help me give in other ways when I can't financially.
What you talked about, various projects. I mean, very often general giving to the church, it supports salaries, staff, operations, facilities, cost. But is there a favorite sort of thing or project that you like to support? The choir's listening.
Well, of course, you're my favorites. I like to support those that we don't expect to happen, or that all of a sudden they present themselves and they say, this is a priority. I don't know if you know, Bob and I have been working extremely hard on taking this ministry into the internet and to increase our witness to those online and to improve our equipment, both sound and audio visual, so we can take it to the world on the next level. And that's where I'm putting my pocketbook as soon as we get it approved.
Yes. We have been working hard on that. Well, the last question I have for you, Bob, is what's the greatest gift that this church has given to you?
The choir. Amen. They thank me, but I'm just one. They are many. And many times since saying, thanks, guys, for your, it's like the individual, so good to see you this morning, how so-and-so in the prayer. But it's what I get back from them. It's not the glorious music. It's they need me, I'm glad, but I get to be in their family.
Yes.
It's a loving family. We pray, we laugh, we cry, we scream at each other. Just like a regular family, you know yes. How that goes.
Yes. Thank you, Bob, for taking this time to chat with me. Can we say thanks to Bob?